Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. And welcome to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Oh my gosh, are you ready to hear a fabulous show? Well, my very, very special guest is Byron Katie tonight, and we will be experiencing some life-changing advice as we delve into the work. So stay tuned for an absolutely fascinating show. Okay, now let me introduce Byron Katie, who is the author of the best-selling books Loving What Is, I Need Your Love, Is That True?, A Thousand Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are. But what she is best known for around the world is the process of inquiry called The Work. Dr. Wayne Dyer states that Byron Katie is one of the truly great and inspiring teachers of our time. Eckhart Tolle states that Byron Katie's work is a great blessing for our planet. The root cause of suffering is identification with our thoughts, the stories that are continuously running through our minds. The work acts like a razor-sharp sword that cuts through the illusions and enables you to know for yourself the timeless essence of your being. And Erica Jong writes, suppose you could find a simple way to embrace your life with joy, stop arguing with reality, and achieve serenity in the midst of chaos. That is what Loving What Is offers. It is no less than a revolutionary way to live your life. I, myself, absolutely love Katie's work, and I have bought and given away so many copies to clients and friends. It's so simple, so clear-cut, and so life-changing. It's incredible. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Julie.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, it is my privilege. You know that.
Oh, you're wonderful. And I've got to tell you, I just love, love, love your book. Absolutely outstanding. And I've got two wonderful ladies on the show with us tonight who were hoping that you could give and ask your inquiries to help turn around their situations.
Well, yeah, I would love to. I would love to assist in that.
Oh, wonderful. And before we begin with the callers, could you maybe give us some background and information on the work?
Well, the work is four questions and a turnaround. It's inquiry. The work is a way to identify and question the thoughts that we ourselves are thinking, the thoughts that cause all the suffering and violence in the world. So it's not a little thing we're about to do today. And anyone with an open mind can do this. For example, if I had the thought, he doesn't care about me, and I invite all of the listeners today to consider a person in their life that they have had that thought about. Maybe it's someone that they're experiencing that with today. So he doesn't care about me. First question of the four, is it true? Second question, he doesn't care about you. Can you absolutely know that that's true? Third question, what happens? How do you react when you think that thought, he doesn't care about you? And then the fourth question, who would you be without that thought? And then I invite people to turn it around. For example, you know, finding opposites. And for example, he doesn't care about me. An opposite would be, I don't care about me. And to just experience that and feel that, you know, all four of these questions, everything we do with these, with this, these four questions and turnaround, they're it's experiential. It will change your life. It's self-realization. And it's all about self-love. So I don't care about me. And to find examples, another turnaround, another opposite of he doesn't care about me, I don't care about him. And these turnarounds can be shocking. And then we begin to consider examples of where we have been unkind, cruel, rude, where we have separated ourselves from this person that we claim to care about, or from any human being for that matter. And another turnaround, another opposite might be, he does care about me. And then to get very still again and to consider examples and all of the ways that that person has been kind, they have been considerate, they have been loving and caring. And this is deep work. And it really takes an open mind because, you know, our minds, we really want to be right. So it's a matter of, do I want to be right or do I want to be free? And if my mind is open, then my heart is open. So basically, Julie, that's the work.
Wow.
Four questions and a turnaround.
And you know what? The work works.
It does work.
It is really life-changing.
You
and
know,
so,
it is. People who have read that Loving What Is, I get the most outrageous email. You wouldn't think it was possible. And we just had a scientific study done on it, and the word that they're using is astonishing.
Oh.
And that's not really done with
scientific
testing.
I believe it truly is.
They say after months later, people not only are still holding the effects of this 9-day school that I offer in the world, and but not only are they holding it months later, but that evidently that's a very rare thing. People's, their realizations kind of fade, and with the work, it's ongoing. It never stops.
Wow. Well, could you tell us a little bit about your background for those listeners who are not quite aware of you yet and how fabulous you are?
Well, I'm a survivor. That's number one, but we can all say that.
Yeah.
But I spent more than a decade just very, very, very depressed, clinically depressed, also paranoid, and that's very painful, and agoraphobic, very painful. Often I couldn't leave my my home or even my bedroom for, 2 years. It was very rare that I could step out of that very, very, you know, if anyone hasn't experienced it, it's no use trying to describe it. My word for it is hell. And after all of, you know, trying everything, one morning as I lay sleeping on the floor next to my bed, and I slept on the floor because I was so full of self-hatred, I didn't believe I deserved a bed to sleep in. And one particular morning as I lay sleeping on the floor, actually a cockroach crawled over my foot, and I opened my eyes, and all the darkness was gone. It was gone. It was gone. And I had no reference for anything. And then in a moment, it was like there were no thoughts. And then in a moment, all the thoughts of the world just hit my head. And in that moment, I saw that none of those thoughts were true. And I saw in that moment that whether they were true or not, that the world was manifested in those thoughts. So in a moment, there was the whole world. There were walls and ceilings and sky and trees and clouds and people, but not prior to the thought. So in that moment, all four questions and the turnaround were born, and I began to laugh, and I've been laughing now for 22 years. And one thing that it's so precious. I don't ever forget when someone's in pain, when someone's suffering. I don't ever forget, and I don't care if they think, well, I haven't had anything as dramatic as Byron Katie. You know, if you're just a little hurt, if you're just a little sad, you know, pain is pain. That's how I look at it. On a scale from 1 to 10, your sadness might be as painful as my worst pain. Who knows? Who cares? What I work in is that suffering is optional. And I'd love to say, all my friends that began to do the work. You know, all my friends have happy endings.
Good. Well, may we go on? I know we have a kind of an urgent situation with a caller that just called in, Shanti, and maybe you could help relieve some of her pain right now.
Well, let's see. I don't know why not. If Shanti's mind is open, then absolutely we will.
Okay.
So, it's totally open to anything right about now.
Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning, Miss Katie. How are you?
Hi.
Thank
so,
you.
So, honey, what are your stressful thoughts?
Just it's so funny, just what you were saying. He doesn't care.
Okay.
And a gentleman who I was involved with for 8 years, and I'm really... Like, at this moment, in a panic attack,
yeah.
At this moment.
Yeah. Oh, boy, do I understand those. Oh, my goodness.
So,
Okay, so, Shanti, he doesn't care about you. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I feel right now.
Okay. Now, Shanti, I ask you to commit to a yes or a no on these first two questions. And so he doesn't care about you. Is that true?
Yes.
So, Shanti doesn't care about you. Can you absolutely know that it's true he doesn't care about you?
Yes.
So, Shanti, how do you react? What happens to your life when you think the thought, he doesn't care about me? I look at all the negative things that happen. I'm hearing panic attack. So how do you react? What happens to your life?
I shut down. I shut down completely. And I can't function. I can't think.
Now describe the images in your head when you feel that way and you think he doesn't care about me. There are images of the past and future.
Yeah, the images of the past, and I thought there was hope, and I think about my future, what's going to happen now.
Yes, honey.
How do I move on from this?
Yes. So, Shanti, describe the feelings in your body. Like, how do you react when you believe that thought, he doesn't care about me? You've described it. Now experience. Describe the feelings in your body.
I don't know. I feel absolute pain and nausea.
Yeah.
Like, I want to faint. This is what everything that's happening to me right at this moment is what I've just anger, and I'm so mad.
Yes. Yes.
I'm very angry.
Yes. Now, sweetheart, close your eyes, okay? Now, imagine, you know, stay in those same images, everything, you know, your life, just the way you've lived it. Don't change anything. You know, like the last 24 hours, the last 48 hours, whatever it is. Now, who would you be without the thought, he doesn't care about me? Look at your life. You're going to the market, you're at home, you're going to work, whatever it is, or you're with him, you're looking into his eyes. Just who would you be in your life without the thought, he doesn't care about me?
If there was no thought, if that was never a thought to me, it never occurred to me, I feel that I would be blissful and happy.
Yes, look at you living your life without that thought. Look at the difference. When you believe the thought, you describe the agony. And when you're not thinking the thought, when you're not believing it, then your life is all of a sudden wonderful. So how can he be your problem? What we're learning from you, Shanti, is what you're believing is your pain, not him. So just open your mind and your heart to this. You don't have to understand it. It's just that that's what we learned from these third and fourth questions. Now, very gently, let's turn it around. He doesn't care about me. Turn it around. What's an opposite?
He cares about me.
He does care about you. Now, give me an example of where that is as true or truer.
An example of him caring?
Yes.
About how I feel?
An example of how he
would care about me?
Yes. That is as true or truer than then he does not care about me. Give me an example of he does care about me.
If he cared about me, he would be here with me. He would be talking to
me. No, give me an example, life example of he does care about you. Not if he cared about you, he would do this and this and that. Just an example of he does care about me.
Of how I would feel. I'm just not sure. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing this perfectly. Okay, so think of him. Now give me one example of where he is caring toward you. Maybe something he said or did or a phone call. Just
if he would to call me right now?
No, just one example of where he is caring toward you.
And where he's caring towards me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I...
Just one kind thing he said or did.
If he said, I love you.
No, that he actually did. One caring thing
that
he actually really said or did.
That he actually said or did.
Mm-hmm. One example.
I guess that he didn't want to hurt me.
That's one. It could be he didn't want to hurt you.
I would say that he didn't want to hurt me. I guess.
Try to find another one.
I don't know. I really don't.
Of where he has been kind and caring.
I can't. I've lost touch with him. I mean, not really, but he has been kind. He would try to be kind to me.
Has he tried to be kind to you?
Yes.
Well, that's two, honey.
Tried.
He has tried to be kind to you. That's caring.
He wasn't kind to me the way that I
wanted him to be.
Right.
Yes, but he has been kind nonetheless.
Yeah, he was.
No wonder you love him. He's a kind man. Give me another example of where he's kind and caring.
He would I don't know if this is what you mean, but he would sometimes send me an email or a text message wanting to know how I was doing.
Well, honey, how dear. So he doesn't care about you. Is that true?
No.
No, so feel that. Feel that.
I guess I'm thinking is if he cared, he would, he would have tried to work it out with me.
No, honey, people can care about us and have different paths. It doesn't mean they're uncaring. They just have different paths. It's not what we want. And again, Shante, it doesn't mean he's uncaring. But that's how we pass on these rumors in the world out of our own heads. We believe it. He's uncaring. He doesn't care about me. Well, it looks like, yes, he does. It just isn't the way we imagined. Let's find another opposite. He doesn't care about me. Can you find another opposite?
Yeah, because he doesn't love me. Oh, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care about me. Put you on all of it. Turn around,
I care about him.
No, he doesn't care about me. Turn around,
I don't care
about me.
Yeah, okay. Well, I do care about me.
Oh, really? Give me examples of where you have been uncaring toward yourself in this situation.
I guess I've been uncaring to myself, but still carrying it around, not letting it go.
Yes, that's one, because there's a lot of sadness in what I'm experiencing from you. Now,
I do things to myself. I mean, I'm very depressed and suicidal at times.
Yes. So what would you want him to do for you?
Love me.
Okay. So if he's not there to do it, who's there to love you?
Just me.
That's right. Not just you. You. Wonderful you. My goodness, sweetheart. You were born with you. You wake up with you. You go to sleep with you. You're there for every meal with you. My goodness, that is, you know, you're the one you've been waiting for. You're the one. You know, people die, they leave us. They change their minds, they leave us. But who's left standing with you? You.
Just me.
Yeah, not just you, honey. Just you. You know, it's really nice to fall in love with your best friend, and that's you. What else would you want if he really, really, what would you want him to give you? What else? If he really cared about you?
Marriage.
Okay, so why don't you marry you?
How?
Well, by loving you, by being devoted to you, by being gentle with you. And when you're sad, by doing the work on your thoughts. So let's find another turnaround. He doesn't care about me. Can you find another turnaround? I
don't care about me.
We did that one.
I don't love me.
I don't care about him.
But I do care about him.
Okay, so give me an example of where you have been uncaring toward him.
Where I've been uncaring?
Toward him.
I yelled at him. I hit him.
Okay, there's two.
I yelled. I cursed him.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, that would lead him to believe that you don't care.
He knew that I cared because I did it out of anger and hurt.
Well, you're excusing it, but who's feeling the pain?
Me.
Yes. If I yell at someone, I hurt me when I do that. And, you know, I did that for years, and it was only after I questioned my mind, questioned what I was believing, that the yelling stopped. But, you know, you were yelling because you were believing your thoughts like he doesn't care.
And how could he, and why is he, and what did I do, and what's wrong with me, and things
well,
like that.
Sweetheart, you know what is the matter with you? You're sad because you're believing your thoughts. So, so Shantae, the work is four questions and a turnaround. I love that you came to see one thing today, and tomorrow morning in the shower, a lot more may just hit you like a ton of bricks. But one thing I got that you really did learn that he's a caring human being. And there were times when you were angry and you yelled and hit. And there were times when he was kind enough to send you messaging and an email to see how you were. And, you know, for me, you know, I just question my thoughts about people and my world radically changed. I haven't been sad or angry in years and years and years. And that's amazing. I have three children and five grandchildren, and they say the same thing. What's another stressful thought?
Well, I'll tell you why I'm like this today. I mean, I was just driving home from somewhere, and I happened to see a car that was, I guess, his new girlfriend, and I recognized the car, and it's like blocks from my house, and I happened to see her car, and it hurt. It just, all of the emotions just came up.
So that's his girlfriend, is that true?
I'm assuming one. Well, the story is a
very
story.
Good catch. So that is his girlfriend. Can you absolutely know that it's true?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm almost sure.
Well, just commit to a yes or a no. That's his girlfriend. Can you absolutely know that it's true?
No.
And what happens to your life when you believe that thought? That's his girlfriend's car. She is with him.
I lost it.
You lost it. So who were you before you had the thought? That's his girlfriend's car.
I was me. I was still me.
Yes. So you're driving through. You see a car. The thought hits your head, that's his girlfriend's car, and your world shifts because you're believing a thought. So that's his girlfriend's car. Turn it around. What's an opposite?
That's not his girlfriend.
Could that be as truer?
Yes.
Wow. Now, see, sweetheart, that's an open mind, and you are right. You do have an open mind. You have a very open mind. Oh, boy, you can do this work. You can do this work. I'm not saying it's not her car. Who? I'm just saying, like you, Shantae, who knows? And if you want to know, now that you understand that he is a caring human being, you can just ask. You can message him and ask. I saw a car. I believed it was your girlfriend's. And is it? And he'll answer you or not.
Well, he didn't answer me because I texted him. And I said, just so happens I saw she has a logo on her car. And
mm-hmm.
I saw such and such car. I saw the logo.
Mm-hmm.
And he never responded.
Yes, it could mean he hasn't looked at the messaging. We can't know. What's another stressful thought?
Just him being with somebody other than me.
So he is with someone else.
And I'm not. And I'm alone. And
so you're alone. Is that true?
In a sense, I don't have another mate. And in that sense, I'm single.
So, Shantae, you need a mate. Is that true? You need a partner. Is that true?
Yes.
You need a partner. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
Yes.
You know, I like to say, who needs God when you have your opinion?
God.
You need a mate. Can you absolutely know that that's true? You need a partner.
Yes.
And what happens to your life? How do you react when you think the thought, I need a partner, and you do not have one?
I crumble. I get scared. I feel alone. I just fall apart.
Yes.
For some reason.
Yes, honey. Well, not for some reason. We know why. Because you're believing the thought you need a partner. You know, in my world, how do I know I don't need a partner? I don't have one. When I argue with reality, I lose, but only 100% of the time. It is the war with what is. What happens to your life? What images do you see? What feelings do you experience when you think the thought, I need a partner, and you don't have one?
Where am I going to meet one? Am I going to meet a guy who is as nice, or I thought is nice and as decent as he? You know?
Yes, so you begin to imagine a future. And I say, if you want fear and terror on purpose, start dictating the future. So who would you be without the thought? Honey, close your eyes. And who would you be without the thought? Watch you living your life in the world. You know, just living your life, going to the market, walking down the street, being at home. Look at your life without the thought, I need a partner. What do you see?
Going through life thinking I don't need a partner.
Look at your life without that thought.
I would be just kind of existing. I don't know. I really don't.
So close your eyes and watch just for a moment. Without the thought, I need a partner.
Without that thought, I would be okay.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine that what you're believing is causing your misery, not the fact you don't have a partner. So, sweetheart, let's turn it around. I need a partner. Turn it around.
I don't need a partner.
Okay, now give me an example of why your life is better. without a partner. You know, Einstein said the only question to answer is the universe friendly? Is the universe friendly? And I found out 22 years ago that the universe is friendly, and I invite people not to believe it, but to test it for themselves. So if the universe is friendly, why is it that you don't have a partner? Why is that an advantage in your life?
I guess because I don't have to answer to anyone. I can be free. You know, I can do and go as I please.
Oh, honey, that's beautiful. Freedom. There's a lot of peace in that. I'm hearing you don't have to argue with anyone. You don't have to ask permission about where to go or when. Can you find some other advantages if the universe is friendly, why you don't have a partner?
I don't know. I could just be who I want to be.
Oh, my goodness. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. You know, when it's time for a partner, there's nothing you can do to keep him away. Because, you know, what is in this world. What is. And if the story unfolds, you know, it's a little of this, a little of that. But, you know, if I don't have a partner, it's so I can grow stronger in all the areas I need to grow in. With, you know, I can do it on my own. It's very important. The universe is friendly. Shantae, you are, honey, you're a remarkable woman, and I invite you to go to thework.com and on that's my website, and the work is always there free, no charge. You don't have to sign up for a newsletter. And on that site also, there are all kinds of things from YouTube on my site to look at, and it will change your life, sweetheart. And you know, when I hear your descriptions of why you're better off without a partner if the universe is friendly, my mind went to you might message him and thank him for not being there.
That was good.
Send him a little thank you note.
Yeah.
thank you, Shantae.
Thank you, Ms. Kay.
Thank you, Shantae.
Thank you.
That was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. Well, could we go on to another one who has some health issues?
Good.
And that is Stefania. Stefania, you're still there.
Hi. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I have to say, I just, just listening to you right now, and Shantae, doing some healing on in that area, too, at the same time.
Oh, isn't it wonderful to sit in the presence of truth as Shantae did her work? We can all learn so much, and her pain, you know, from believing those thoughts, if she can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, and she has a lot of courage. A lot of strength.
Yes.
Yeah, so I prepared a little bit for just my body, talking about my body.
Good. So what is not okay about your body, in your opinion?
Well, a number of health problems, including one major health problem, which is ongoing and really keeping me back. You know,
so,
it's feeling more positive these days, but it's still there.
You need to be healthier.
Yeah.
Okay, is that
true?
That would
be nice.
you need to be healthier. Is that true? Can you absolutely know that it's true that you need to be healthier than you are?
No. I can't absolutely know, I guess. So I know
what,
I want it.
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with reality, does it?
No.
So how do you react? What happens to your life when you believe the thought, I should be healthier, and you're not?
Oh, I feel sad and depressed and anxious. And
imagine a body trying to heal out of that kind of stress.
Yeah.
So we actually hold it back when we believe the thought. when we do war with reality. So, sweetheart, who would you be without the thought, I need to be healthier? I invite you to close your eyes and look at you doing what you can do. Look at you doing what you do do, only without the thought, I need to be healthier.
I think I'd be perfectly content.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's my experience. It sounds very weird to say, but it doesn't matter what kind of illness strikes me. And there have been a few, like blindness and the inability to walk. And I could not find a problem. The joy just remains no matter what, because these questions meet every thought that hits my head. Eventually, it's automatic. So let's find a turnaround, an opposite for I need to be healthier. My body should be healthier. So
I don't need to be healthier?
Yes, give me an example of why that's true.
Because I guess through my illness, I am discovering, learning many things.
Oh, my goodness. That's what illness is for, honey. That's what everything is for. It's our path. It's all about enlightenment. It's all about finding our freedom. You know, to another person, it's obesity. To another person, it's not having a partner. To another person, it's the death of a child. And for you, it's this illness. We all have these things in our lives that point to where we need to grow.
Yeah.
So perfectly. So when we're dealing with the body or health and we do the turnarounds, or any object, it's wonderful to put, to replace like body or health with the words my thoughts or my thinking. So another turnaround might be like, I need my body to be healthier. I need my thoughts to be healthier. Feel that.
Okay. What does a healthy thought look like?
Yeah, right. One that doesn't attack that amazing body of yours.
Yeah.
You know, it's like looking at this precious body doing the best it can and saying, you're not healthy enough. I need you to be healthy. You should be healthier. It's like we attack this organism that does nothing but try to survive us.
Right.
As though it were some kind of affliction and new model we should trade in or something.
Right.
It's so
faulty.
Yeah,
faulty.
Yeah, we're actually doing war with these organisms that are simply trying to at all times heal. But you know, the stress from believing our thoughts, it just, you know, it really constricts the blood flow and it affects the heart and the liver, all of it. So peace is the way. So can you find another example of I don't need my body to be healthier?
I'm really good at, or learning how to be good at taking care of myself.
Oh, that's brilliant. Brilliant.
Which is harder to do than you would think.
I understand that. I had Fuchs dystrophy, which is reputedly like one of the most painful conditions to go through, and it's where these cells and the corneas die, and you just go blind, and there's nothing for it, and now there is something for it, and it's cornea transplants, and we didn't know that, and the surgeries up to then have been very, very painful. But throughout this whole thing, all these years of that disease, I just did the work, and I was in Germany a touring. It didn't slow me down at all. And I fell down a couple of flights of stairs, and it was like falling in slow motion. It's like there's no way to project anything terrible that could happen. It's just witnessing. And then when I hit the bottom of the flight of stairs, I would just wait to see if there was pain rather than project it. And so I can honestly say to people that even physical pain is a projection of mind. And that's very advanced for the human race, and nonetheless, that's how it is. All pain is projected. All pain is on its way out, not its way in. It's when the mind tells us it's going to get worse. It imagines the pain is going to get worse than it is. That makes it worse in the moment, and it's not worse in the moment. It's just the power of projecting. You understand?
Yes, yes.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely look every time I see a symptom, I remember the past and think, oh, no, I'm going to get worse again. I'm going to go back to how I was.
Yeah, so sweetheart, it's going to get worse. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
No.
And what happens when you believe the thought it's going to get worse?
Anxious and scared and depressed and paralyzed myself with my thoughts.
Yes, and feel the energy drop.
Yeah.
So the thoughts are lowering our energy because they're so exhausting, not the physical body, not the illness. So who would you be without the thought it's going to get worse?
I would be full of optimism and hope and joy.
Yeah. So when that thought hits your head, it's going to get worse. You may, next time you think that thought, if you do, you may just experience laughter in place of depression, like it's going to get worse. And your mind might say, can you absolutely know that that's true? Or you'll experience like, I can't know that. And just break into joy.
Right.
So it's going to get worse. Turn it around.
It's not going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's going to get better.
It's going to get better.
Yeah.
Would you agree that that could be as true or truer?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the moment, it just did get better because you didn't bring depression upon it in that moment.
Yeah.
So you have created your own reality in the moment. You didn't believe it and didn't fake yourself out into anything less than genuine, where you gave yourself the real thing, which is, I don't know. It could get better. That is as true or truer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking that another turnaround might be, I don't know if this is really, I don't know, but I'm a little hesitant to say it actually, but that some part of me needs this illness.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Otherwise, maybe I wouldn't have it.
Well, you know, there's no mistake in the universe. There's nothing. So if the universe is friendly, why would it give you this?
Right.
This illness.
I need it for some reason.
So let's look.
Right.
So give me an example of universe is friendly, just one example of why you would have this.
I would have this illness. So I can learn about healing.
Exactly so. Can you find another example?
I can learn to have compassion for those who are.
Oh, yes. So, so true. Can you find another example?
I can have compassion for myself.
Oh, yes. You're a people.
Exactly.
Compassion for people. Oh, I'm a people.
Yeah. Somehow I'm not always in my mind.
You know, mind is mind, and body is body. Mind is mind, and body is body. So people are always working on their bodies, and if they worked on their mind, if they questioned their thoughts, then bodies would be, oh my goodness, like my body, I can promise you this perfect body. I'm 65 years old. I have the perfect eyes, the perfect feet, the perfect legs, the perfect height, the perfect weight, the perfect hair, the perfect everything. It's all perfect to be me. It's like somebody's got to be me in this world. It's a perfect universe, so I'm the only one that could do it.
Right.
Someone's got to be you. You're the only one that could do it, and there's no mistake in the universe. And the nature of the universe is friendly, so I have just, you know, done enough work that I've just come to see that, oh my goodness, you know, I finally love and respect myself. It's what is left after the work. It's nothing I did on purpose. I just questioned my mind, and I became a kinder human being, a more loving human being toward me and the world every time I did it without exception.
Okay. Yeah, my mind has definitely not been telling my body that it's perfect.
No. You know, so if a person works on their mind, they find freedom. But if they work on their body, just their body, then you can't find freedom. It's like betting on the losers. The body
die. You find all the traps, the restrictions.
Yeah. So work on the mind, and then we make very intelligent decisions out of a clear mind when it comes to this amazing body that supports mind. And mind allow it to support body.
And it's often feeling the opposite. It often feels like they're fighting with each other.
Well, the body doesn't fight. It's like the body doesn't know, it doesn't care, it doesn't.
It's just the mind that says, oh, this body's not doing what I want it to do.
Oh, sweetheart, that's it. That's it. That's exactly it. You know, you when you understand the mind, immediately or eventually you have a very healthy body at any age, under any conditions. You could be paralyzed from head to toe. And if you loved every thought you think, there's no problem. I was in San Quentin not long ago and working with the men there, and I was in one of the cell blocks they call Broadway, and the walls are like 6 feet thick, cement, and it's very old. And I was walking through and I heard a door slam way, way, way up on one of the catwalks behind me, and I turned, and the man, as soon as the door shut, the man started to scream. He screamed and screamed and screamed, and then it set off a chain reaction of men screaming. Now, what happened was they locked him in there with his thoughts. That's all that happened. If you put a Buddhist monk in there, shut the door, they would think he would thank you. Because this man screaming was believing his thoughts. And that's why we have violence in the world. People say, why did this young man shoot all those people the other day? Well, you know, I want to raise my hand and say, I know why he did it. He was believing his thoughts. How could he not shoot them? As long as we're believing our thought, this is a violent world, and it's not going to change. But you know, it begins with you, and it begins with everyone listening here today. We question our thoughts or we believe them. There is no other choice. Like that dear, 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 the little angel I worked with before you?
Oh, Shanti.
Mm-hmm. Shanti, you know, that angel yelling at her boyfriend. She was believing her thoughts. Can you imagine an angel yelling?
Yeah, I know, because I've done it myself.
Yes, I've certainly done my share. But if you look back, and I invite all of you to look back at the last time you yelled at someone, the last time you were so angry, you yelled at someone or you hit someone, look at what you were believing at the time. Look what you were believing, and then find the place where you had no choice in the moment. And that's why people murder. It's why we have war in the world. If we all questioned our thoughts, we would be left with simply, how can I help? How can I help? And that would be the end of hunger and famine and you know, our ecosystem would straighten out. But you know, the confused mind, it's all about the body's security and comfort and then pleasure. And it's just a round circle of these. And it doesn't stop until we question our mind. And that's simply how the mind works. And oh, Sonia, honey, you're just beautiful. And thank you so much for your open mind.
Thank you very much.
So keep working on your body, sweetheart. I think on my website there's some stuff on the body there for you to play with.
Okay, I will definitely do that.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Thank you so much
for working with me. You're welcome. It's a privilege.
What great insight into the minds of every human you
mm-hmm.
just gave us. It's absolutely brilliant. So this, you know, if we could just teach this in schools. So what would you, I mean, if a parent came to you, how would they begin to get their children to start recognizing their thoughts?
By doing the work themselves.
Ah.
You know, it's like on an airplane, they say, put the oxygen on you first, then your child. Well, the work is the same way. You get clear, your children get clear. We can't teach what we don't have ourselves.
So we could basically just ask the four questions of the children when they get upset or...
Oh, yes. If my grandchild came in, for example, said, Grandma, no one likes me at school, I would say, honey, are you sure? Well, those are the first two questions. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? And then he might say, yes, it's true. No one likes me. And I might say, honey, that must feel terrible. Tell Grandma what that's like for you. And then he goes into how he reacts when he believes the thought. It feels terrible. It's scary. No one will play with me. I feel sick to my stomach. I don't want to go back to school. So he's answering the third question. And then you might say, honey, before that happened, before you determined that no one there liked you, before maybe it was an incident, before that happened, what was it like for you? And they'll tell you that it was wonderful, I loved school, and before that, or, you know, whatever way they answer it. And then it starts to click with them. Before the thought, wonderful. With the thought, terrible. And then a turnaround would be, honey, there must be someone at school that likes you. Let's just find one person, just one person. And then you just slowly just move them into maybe just one person. And with me, if I have to go to school and be the one that loves them, I will.
Absolutely.
and they get it just so quickly, so beautifully, that it's their thoughts and they don't have to be told. You know, I have a little one of my grandsons, when he was 8 months old, he was already not just walking but running, and he was on a leash one day and he was running just as fast as he could with me holding the leash, and it was the first time anyone let him have his own will. And he started walking fast, and I followed, and he started walking faster, I followed, and he started running, and I followed, and he wasn't being held back, and he had his arms in the air just waving them, going, ah, it's just wild with joy. And ahead of him was this huge window that went from the ground up. We were in this big Caesar's Palace Mall, and all the windows are like this, and you can't really tell. It looks like you could just walk through. You can't tell the glass is there. And he's going, ah, and wham, he hit the glass. And I was standing over him, and he looked up at me, and I looked at him. And I can't project he hurt himself because he hasn't given me any signs. And I'm not thinking for him. So he's looking at me, waiting for my response. I'm looking at him, waiting for his response. He looks at me, I look at him. he gets up and he just throws his hands in the air and starts running again, just wild with joy. So he continues to run toward another window. And he's going, and he just stops in front of it. And he turns around and looks at me and gives me the biggest smile you have ever seen. So he learned through his own intelligence cause and effect. And I didn't have to say, oh, honey, that would hurt you. Oh, honey, that's dangerous. Oh, honey, you know, you could hurt, you could break your nose, you could fall down. And I didn't have to instill fear in him. And watching my children and grandchildren grow without my input is nothing short of phenomenal. It's like, what are we teaching? Are we teaching fear or are we teaching love? And if we've done our own work, we teach love, and it's not even on purpose. It's what we are.
Wow. Wow. That's just wonderful. Well, I'm going to vote to have this, the work in every single class.
You know?
So that for every single elementary school needs to have the work in it so that kids, because the kids are often teachers to the parents, kids can actually teach their parents. And, wow, what a phenomenal world we'll have.
Oh, you know, it's so true. You know what we do with children the other way is they come and say, no one at school likes me. And we say, oh, honey, it's okay. Let's go have some cookies and milk.
Right.
And so this is a whole new way of understanding and connecting and intimacy, and it's what we all want, you know, to be close to our people we love. And
absolutely, it truly is an awakening. And this is why Eckhart Tolle has said that this is so wonderful for the entire planet. Truly, through your process of inquiry, we can change the world. I truly do give this book, Loving What Is, to all my friends, to everybody I know, because truly it is so life-changing, and this is where we need to begin.
Oh, I love that you do that. Thank you for that. It's you know, peace in the world, one by one by one. It doesn't start at the top with the kings and queens and presidents. It begins with just one, the power of one, and it's such a beautiful thing. And
yeah.
Oh my goodness, the end of suffering,
and for everyone to recognize how our thoughts really do create the world.
Yeah,
us.
You know, the masters, you know, we see their freedom. We can hear it out of them, smell it, taste it, all the old books of, you know, all the spiritual teachings, but no one has told us how.
Yes.
And the work is how.
Yes.
It is how. It's within us. Every one of these questions take us to the master within. And no one holds more wisdom than another. We may appear to have different IQs, but when it comes to wisdom, no one's left out. Not a schizophrenic, not a bipolar, not a multiple personality. No one is left out. No one that's depressed, no one that's hurt, no one without arms and legs, no one that's healthy, no millionaire, no poverty person without money. We all hold equal wisdom. And again, these four questions, it takes us directly to that wisdom every time we open and allow the questions to meet, the answers to meet those questions.
What a true blessing you are to the world.
Oh,
you really are.
You.
I can't thank you enough. We are out of time, but it has been a truly wonderful experience for me to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. You angel. Thank you for your work and what you give all of us.
Well, thank you. And I know my listeners out there are all tingling and all excited, and please go to her website to get more information and to take part in all of the classes. It's just phenomenal. You will learn so much And it is thework.com. Is that right?
Yes, thework.com. And for people who are really suffering, I have that 9-day school, and I have a 28-day turnaround health, and it is nothing short of miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. So,
wow.
And also everything's free on my website for you know, again, equal wisdom.
Wonderful. Yeah, and send all your friends, family, and just the world to her website, truly. We're going to change the world by Katie.
Well, I'm going to support that for sure.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.